From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You're listening through voanews.id or our application RRI Play Go. And we from the Voice of Indonesia will be bringing you more information about Indonesia. Like the first one is the news, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here's the news. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Let's begin with the national news. Indonesia's economy clocked 7.07% year-on-year growth in the second quarter of 2021, surpassing Vietnam and South Korea. This was affirmed by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto at the HSBC Summit on Wednesday. As quoted by Reuters agency, he remarked that this growth recorded in the second quarter is the highest Indonesia has achieved since the 2018 subprime mortgage crisis. Minister Hartarto also stated that Indonesia's economic growth in the second quarter of 2021 surpassed South Korea 5.9% growth and Vietnam 6.6% growth. He attributed the government's hard efforts towards stemming the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic as the key factor in the acceleration of Indonesia's economic recovery in the second quarter of 2021. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises SOEs Erick Thohir welcomed the launch of the mentorship program by BUMN Muda, a young generation SOEs community, and he said that this program will help bring about a human resource transformation. As quoted by Antara, Minister Erick Thohir at the launch of the BUMN Muda mentorship program on Wednesday explained that the program provides opportunity for the young generation to learn and develop their capacity and capability to contribute not only as an executor, but also as a conceiver. He also said that the mentorship is a form of comprehensive and systematic human capital transformation with cross-generational collaboration. BUMN Muda, as a development agent, is trying to enhance the capability of potential young talents to become future leaders with good akhlaq, trustworthy, competent, harmonious, loyal, adaptive, and collaborative mentality, keen business insight, and excellent global competitiveness. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyati Indrawati has said that the 2022 state budget will be an important instrument for maintaining the momentum of economic recovery, which has begun to be seen this year. As reported by Antara News Agency, she noted during a working meeting with the House Budget Committee Banggar in Jakarta on Wednesday that the state budget is an instrument to maintain economic recovery and encourage structural reforms, because those are two very important things for Indonesia. She also said that the government has designed next year's state budget to support recovery, which is expected to continue, because getting out of the crisis will not happen suddenly, but through hard efforts. Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection Kemen PPPA, I.E. Gusti Ayu Bintang Puspayoga, has urged Indonesian women to be adaptive and courageous in facing challenges, especially amid the COVID-19 pandemic. In a statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Wednesday, she explained that this pandemic situation encourages all of Indonesian people to be able to immediately adapt to the current changes. She further remarked that to realize quality human resources, women are required to bravely change, to speak up, and to innovate new things in a bid to be able to get out of the problems they face. Minister Igusti Ayu added that her side is concentrating on improving the quality of human resources, and the government is continuing to try to remove the barriers to women's empowerment, namely violence. Let's move on to the international news. The United Kingdom said on Wednesday it has evacuated more than 11,000 people from Afghanistan, adding that the evacuation process will run as long as the security situation allows and that no firm date had been set for the end of evacuation flights. As reported by Reuters.com, British First Secretary of State and Secretary of State for Foreign Affairs Dominic Raab explained earlier that the deadline for evacuating people was up to the last minute of the month. Meanwhile, Britain's Ministry to Defence in a statement said 11,474 individuals have been evacuated from Afghanistan under Operation Pitting, which commenced on Friday, 13 August. More than 1,000 UK Armed Forces personnel deployed in Kabul. Turkey's military has begun evacuating from Afghanistan, state-owned Anadolu agency said on Wednesday, citing the Defence Ministry. As reported by Reuters.com, President Tayyip Erdogan government had said for months it could keep a presence at the Kabul airport if requested after the Taliban seized control of Afghanistan. But Reuters reported earlier on Wednesday that the Taliban have asked Turkey for technical help to run Kabul airport after the departures of foreign forces, but insists that Ankara's military also withdraw fully by the end of August deadline. Mainly Muslim Turkey was part of NATO missions in Afghanistan and still has hundreds of troops at Kabul airport. Faced with a worrying demographic crisis of its own making, China is encouraging couples to have more children. There's just one problem. Women aren't too keen on the idea. As reported by CNN.com, for more than 35 years, the ruling Communist Party strictly enforced a one-child policy as the country tried to address overpopulation and alleviate poverty. But as the economy boomed, China found its population aging and its labor force shrinking. To mitigate the economic risk posed by falling birth rate, the party announced in 2015 that it would allow married couples to have two children. But after a brief uptick in 2016, the national birth rate has been falling year on year, prompting the party to loosen the policy even further to three children. That was the news.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Serentak, menerjang, menerkam. majulah menang.
The COVID-19 pandemic had a great influence towards education in the world, including in Indonesia. To prevent the virus from spreading among the students and teachers, classes are held online. In Indonesia, the online class, or so-called PJJ, has been ensuring the learning process continues. After 1 year, the end of the pandemic is still unknown. But the online classes have caused some negative impacts, one of which is learning loss that happens across the world. A study found that face-to-face class results in better academic achievement than the online one. Some other impacts are various social issues, such as domestic violence against children. Many students also face difficulties in joining the online classes. A survey by the Education and Culture Ministry's Policy Research Center in 2021 found that hard to concentrate and limited internet are the greatest issues faced by the students during online classes. Considering the negative impacts, many students and their parents are waiting for the face-to-face class again. Currently, the Level 3 social restrictions allow a limited face-to-face class. President Joko Widodo on Thursday has quoted from Merdeka.com that he will allow the face-to-face class if they have been vaccinated. How do schools respond to this? The data from the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology showed that some 63% of schools in Indonesia actually can have a limited face-to-face classes, but only 26% did it. The rest were faced with regional government's permits. Many regions were reluctant to give permits, even if their regions are in the level 3. This reluctance might be because of being careful, and every region has different conditions. Whatever the reasons, the regional government needs to realize the face-to-face class so that the negative impact will not happen again. The 26% schools that had done it are expected to follow a very strict health protocol, and students in the classroom must be limited. To ensure this, monitoring by regional government is a must.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Listener, Today in History starts with the event on August 26, 1920, United States Women's Equality Day. Women's Equality Day was commemorated for the first time on August 26, 1920. The celebration commemorates the first time the United States Constitution that allowed people to vote for female candidates. The day is commemorated as a turning point in the history of women's struggle for equality in the United States. Prior to 1920, it had been recorded for 72 years of campaigning for the equal rights and treatment of women in the United States. However, this movement was not really responded. This movement finally encourages women around the world to fight and demand rights and equality in society in their countries. Next event was in 1969. The 7th National Sport Week began to be held in Surabaya. The 7th National Sport Week took place in Surabaya, East Java on 26 August until 6 September 1969. This sporting event featured 13 sport branches. The Special Capital Region of Jakarta became the overall champion with 102 gold, 69 silver, and 40 bronze medals. Meanwhile, East Java as the host only became the runner-up with 65 gold, 62 bronze. The last event was August 26, was in 1994. A man got the first bionic heart. A man has been given the world's first battery-operated heart in a pioneering operation in the UK. The patient, an unnamed 62-year-old, is from the south of England. His age was only a few months. Doctors offered him the opportunity to try a titanium and plastic device manufactured in America called the left ventricular assist device. The device is not a substitute for human heart. It's basically an electric pump that does most of the work of the heart's pumping chamber, the left ventricle. August 26, 1994, a heart pump was successfully installed in the patient. Moreover, the device has been used successfully in more than 200 patients to keep them alive until a donated heart is available. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Betapa ku suka padamu, hingga tak kuasa ku menahan kelakuanku, berdebar keras hatiku ini. Setiap ku lihat kau berdiri di hadapanku, apa yang harus ku katakan? Apa yang harus ku lakukan? Aku salah tingkah, ku tak tahu harus bagaimana. Di depanmu yang kutambahkan,
are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, on voanews.id or application RRI Play Go. The next one will be by Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Researchers of Marine Bioindustry Agency BBIL at Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Professor Dwi Listio Rahayu, said that his site needs to maintain the marine biota diversity in Lombok to be used sustainably. The marine biota diversity in Lombok is very high, so that everyone must preserve and study its benefits for humans. That was stated by Professor Dwi in a webinar on Lombok Island Biodiversity held by BBIL LIPI in Jakarta on Tuesday. She said that the BBIL has done some research to record the marine biota in the waters of Lombok Island. Some of the marine biota being studied are crustaceans, such as Bracturian crabs and Anemoran crabs. Crustacea is the second most diverse marine biota after mollusca, and it's inhabited various ecosystems, both in the littoral zone and deep sea. She also said that although most of the consumed crustacean species have been discovered, there are still more crustaceans playing crucial roles for ecological balance in nature that need some attention. The 19 LIPI Sarwono awardee said that some 500 true crab species and 300 Anomaran crab species are found in Indonesia. In Lombok so far, only 150 species have been discovered. Because Lombok waters has various ecosystems, Dwi said the research for crustaceans diversity is still very minimal. There are still more species of crustaceans in Lombok that are waiting to be found and studied. She added that further research is needed on marine biota diversity, not only for the crustaceans but also other marine biota. The data will be used as the basis for further marine resource management.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voanews.id.
Pasti berlalu, Indonesia.
Wujud apresiasi kami kepada dokter, juru rawat, relawan, TNI, Polri, dan semua pejuang kemanusiaan di garda terdepan yang menghadapi pandemi COVID-19. Kalian adalah pahlawan sejati.
Jaga diri.
right, listener? More information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. For example, it is an information about Indonesian tourism or maybe the local wisdom of Indonesian people. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
President Joko Widodo was the inspector of the commemoration of the Proclamation of Independence of the Republic of Indonesia at the State Palace in Jakarta on August 17, 2021. At the ceremony, he wore traditional papadun clothes from Lampung. The traditional clothes worn are dominated by red and white colors. President Joko Widodo wore white long sleeves and pants. At the waist, it was wrapped with the typical red Lampung sarung and woven with gold thread. The president also pinned a red scarf with the same motif as the sarong. At the waist of the president, there was a red belt with gold-colored circle accessories. He also wore a red headband with a yellow pattern. Meanwhile, Vice President Maruf Amin was present wearing blue Sundanese traditional clothes. Lampung traditional clothes are known as tulang bawang clothes. Tulang bawang clothes are usually worn on certain events such as weddings. The tulang bawang clothes are divided into Lampung Papadun and Lampung Saubatin. The striking difference between the two traditional clothes is the dominance of color, in which Lampung Papaduan is more identical with white, while Lampung Saubatin is red. Basically, there are several main components of Lampung traditional clothes worn by men and women. For men, this traditional dress consists of a long-sleeved shirt, long pants, tumpal sarung, sesapuran, and kikat akhir. The main point of Lampung traditional cloth is the sarung tumpal, which is a typical Lampung cloth woven with gold thread. On the cloth worn by President Joko Widodo, there is a red tumpal sarung with a gold thread decoration in it. Then, there is also kikat akhir or bujur scarf. The scarf is draped over the shoulders to cover the shoulders. In addition to main components, there are also supporting accessories that are usually used. They are necklace from jakum fruit, papan jalap necklace, selempang pinang, various bracelet, and belts equipped with a dagger. This traditional papaduan clothing from Lampung has a very beautiful philosophical meaning. Clothing with a predominance of white color depicts the nature of wisdom, cleanliness, and purity. The white color is also mentioned as a symbol that the people of Lampung are civilized and obedient to religious norms. Then, the gold color in these traditional clothes shows strength and prayer for abundance of substances.
Gagal di dalam bercinta, pasangan tak punya, begitu merana.
Well then, listener, the next one will be an information about Indonesia. Well, mostly it's about innovation. The next one is miscellany.
Listeners, do you know if the largest banana tree in the world is in Indonesia, precisely in the Afak Mountains, West Papua? The Latin name is Musa ingens or Musa ingens N.W. Slimans. In the local language, the residents of Banford Village, Tambrau Regency, West Papua, call this giant banana by the name Doin or Apit Sepoh. Banana stem heights reaches 24 to 30 meters, equivalent to 6 to 7 times the banana tree in general. The diameter of Musa ingens banana tree reaches a size of 95 centimeters. Even the trunk diameter of Musa ingens tree can reach 1 meter to 2 meters, while the midriff of Musa ingens has a length of up to 5 meters with a width of about 1 meter. This giant banana is usually used by local people. Usually, this banana midriff is used to store game or garden produce. Meanwhile, the banana leaves are used by local residents for roof or emergency houses in the forest, sitting mats and foot mats, while the fruit itself cannot be enjoyed by residents because usually the birds of paradise eat the bananas. Quoted from indonesia.go.id, this giant banana was first collected as a specimen by Wormersley, G.S. and Slimans, N.W. on December 22, 1954 in the New Guinea. This Musa ingens banana has fruit with a length of up to 20 cm with a fruit size of 4 to 6 centimeters in diameter. One bunch of bananas can weigh up to 60 kilograms. The size of the bunch is generally about 35 to 50 centimeters in diameter, 70 to 80 centimeters in length. Banana peel color is green when young and yellowish when ripe. The fruit also has quite a lot of seeds, with a size larger or the same as a banana in general. The giant banana Musa ingens is one of Papua's endemic plants. So far, such a banana tree has only been discovered in the Afak Mountains of West Papua with an altitude of 100 to 200 above sea level. One of the locations where these bananas exist is in Kau Village, Mokwan District, Manokwari Regency, which shares a border with the Afak Mountains Regency. The distribution of this species is only on the island of Papua, including Manokwari or Afak Mountains Nature Reserve, Kaimana Wandama Bay, and Fakfak or Central Fakfak Nature Reserve. In Yapen District or Central Yapen Nature Reserve, and in Tambrau District or Banford and Esyom Muara Kali Ehrin. These giant bananas usually grow in secondary forests or former garden forests and on either side of the road with soil with substrate or deep soil solum. This type of banana grows in clusters or separately and is usually associated with Lithocharpus rufophilosus, Musa arfakiana, Musa balbicina, and Dodonaya viscosa. That's miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
We have been giving you so many information and also so many songs from Indonesia. The next one will be a song, but there's a little bit information about it. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Today's edition will present to you a song by Yana Yulio. One of the songs popularized by Yana Yulio is entitled Selamanya Cinta, which was released in 1995. The song is the key one of his album entitled Selamanya Cinta. In 2007, the music group The Cinnamon rearranged the song for the soundtrack of the film Cinta Puccino. The song Selamanya Cinta tells the story of someone who is unable to express his love and longing for his idol and making him restless. In fact, if he is able to express his longing, he is sure he can love his idol sincerely forever. Listener, here is Yana Yulio with the song Selamanya Cinta.
Jalinkanlah cinta, kau
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.